O God, you have made heaven and earth and all that is good. Help us to delight in simple things and to rejoice always in the richness of your bounty. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our gospel lesson this morning follows immediately after our reading from last week. But there are a few important changes afoot. The last two chapters in Luke have involved Jesus teaching, preaching, and telling parables to large crowds of followers as well as Pharisees who were so often present and intent on giving Jesus a hard time. Today, we are back on the way to Jerusalem with Jesus, a familiar theme in Luke, traveling somewhere between Galilee and Samaria. As a geographic footnote, scholars have long noted that Luke apparently did not have a very good understanding of the geography of ancient Palestine. Simply stated, there is no region between Samaria and Galilee when traveling to Jerusalem. Samaria is south of Galilee and lies between Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. It would be like traveling from Tallahassee to Chattanooga by way of the region between Florida and Georgia. Geographically impossible. Since Jews and Samaritans held one another in particularly low regard, most travelers from Galilee went around Samaria when traveling to Jerusalem. They cut through Alabama. That being said, we are still on our way to Jerusalem with Jesus. As frequently happens in the Gospels, a change in location and activity also indicates a new teaching. For the last several weeks, we have been hearing lessons about the demands of discipleship. Our lesson this morning returns to a story about God's mercy and salvation. We have a healing miracle for the first time since chapter 8, nine chapters back. As Jesus is entering a village, he is approached by 10 people with leprosy. There is no mention of the disciples or the crowds. We hear leprosy mentioned often, especially in healing stories. The healing of lepers functions as a sign of the power and mercy of God. In the ancient world, leprosy was thought to be a highly contagious, progressive, and devastating disease. We now know leprosy is an infectious disease caused by a bacterium related to tuberculosis. It is very difficult to contract. It does indeed cause skin, mucous membrane, and nerve damage in its late stages, but is now curable, especially if diagnosed early, with an extended drug regimen. Of course, what we know to be leprosy today was only one of many conditions considered to be leprosy in Jesus' time. Any chronic scaling skin condition was considered leprous, including such diseases as eczema and psoriasis. Such skin lesions rendered a person unclean, and they were totally shunned. By law, lepers were required to live outside the villages and to cry, "Unclean, unclean," whenever any passersby approached, that they may be able to avoid them at great distance. If for any reason a person with leprosy should be relieved of their affliction, they would need to be examined by a priest, for only a priest could declare one was healed and once again clean and able to rejoin the community. We have often discussed the special concern Luke has for the poor, the marginalized, and the outcast. Consider the plight of these lepers within that context. They are indeed the most shunned and outcast of people. They are forced to live outside the bounds of any of the family, faith, or community they have known, managing to survive as best they can. They live in isolation, utterly rejected. They are considered to be so unclean that anyone that may have contact with them will also be rendered unclean. They are required to warn anyone they see of their uncleanness so they can be avoided. To put things in 21st century Western psychological terms, I'm pretty sure they would end up with some serious issues concerning personal wholeness and self-esteem. Barring a miracle, it is how they will spend the rest of their lives. As Jesus enters the village, these ten approach him, keeping their distance as required by law. They call Jesus Master and beg for mercy. This is a title used only in Luke, and this is the only time it is uttered by someone who is not a disciple. Given Jesus' widespread reputation, their request for mercy is an implied request for healing. Jesus gives them a simple command: go and show yourselves to the priests. There is no indication Jesus touched them or that they approached any closer than would have been acceptable. And as they went, they were made clean. And now we get to the central point of the story, and it's not the miraculous healing of these ten people. One of them, seeing he was healed, turned back. This man saw not only that he was healed, but saw that it was nothing less than the working of the power and mercy of God. His life had been touched by the hand of God in a very real and miraculous way. Jesus often ends his teachings with comments about those with eyes to see and ears to hear who will understand his message. This one man of the ten has such eyes. And he responded in the only way one can, by praising God. And we are told he did so with a loud voice. On a deeper level, there is also an implied Christological statement here. This man recognizes that God has worked through Jesus. While he thanks Jesus, his praise is for God, who he recognizes is the source of what has happened to him. And now comes the twist in the story. This one man of the group who acknowledges the reality of what has happened and returns praising God is a Samaritan. This may well have made him an outcast among outcasts. The resonance with the parable of the Good Samaritan is obvious. Once again, Jesus has shattered the boundaries of nationality, culture, class, and expectation to reveal not only the reversals one can expect in the kingdom of God, but the inclusive embrace of that kingdom for all of God's children. It takes this foreigner, this leprous Samaritan, to model for us faith and praise of God. This man's faith was not exhibited in his request for healing. Rather, it was gloriously expressed in his gratitude and praise. We are thereby challenged to do the same. The power and mercy, abundance and blessing of God surround us all. It is nothing we deserve or are entitled to. It cannot be earned, bought, or accumulated. It is freely given by our God and Creator, who loves each one of us dearly. Our faith assures us it is so. And the expression of our faith can only be gratitude, worship, praise, and thanksgiving.